Intelligent design and DNA. Scholars can't explain it all away. Get ready to be awed by the handiwork of God. Tune into Real Science Radio. Turn up the Real Science Radio.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to Real Science Radio. I'm Bob Enyart. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. And today we are going to be talking about the debate at the University of Denver between Bill Jack, a well-known Christian apologist, and Travis Barlock, an evolutionist who's there on campus. He's just got his degree, a Bachelor of Science in Biology. And we're going to play some audio for you, first of a professionally produced interview with a famous evolutionist, and then, well, a cell phone video, so it's not professionally produced. It'll be harder to hear, but it's of the after party, the aftermath of the debate there in the auditorium on the DU campus. And when I was able to interact, to chat with the evolutionist, Travis Barlock, who was extremely confident in his arguments as he was presenting this claimed evidence for evolution, two guys in their early 20s in the audience, I asked them what was some of Travis's strongest arguments. And they said the whale fossils, because we've been talking about claim that these fossils show a transition to the whale, from a land animal to a whale. So what we're going to do is first play an interview with Dr. Philip Gingrich. He is the discoverer of Rhodocetus. Rhodocetus is one of the most famous fossils in the world. It's on display at museums like the Smithsonian, Carnegie, the Canadian Museum of Natural History in Paris. And they love it, evolutionists love it, because for many years now it's been said that this Rhodocetus and the others like Ambulocetus, Pachycetus, these are some of the very best examples of Darwinian evolution from the fossil record, showing the transition. Well, it turns out that these fossils were faked, and the discoverers admit the parts that were faked, and the parts that were faked were the whale parts, all right, like the flippers or the fluke tail or the blowhole. And so we're first going to hear just a couple minutes from Dr. Phil Gingrich. If you're interested in this when you hear it, please realize you could come to our website, kgov.com, click on the store, browse the science department, and you will see Evolution, the Grand Experiment. But okay, so we're going to begin with this interview with the scientist who made the discovery that Travis Barlock sort of bragged about in his debate with Christian Bill Jack. And then we're going to come back to me and we will play audio from my interaction with not only Travis Barlock, but there were about a dozen people in a circle talking after the debate.
When this video series was being filmed on location at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, the executive producer noticed a discrepancy between museum drawings of Rhodocetus and the fossils. The reconstruction of Rhodocetus had a whale fluke, but there were no fossils of the tail to confirm this. Dr. Phil Gingrich, the scientist responsible for the discovery and reconstruction of Rhodocetus, was questioned how he knew there was a whale fluke on Rhodocetus, since that part of the fossil was missing.
What was the reasoning that the scientists think there was a fluke on Rhodocetus based on the other pieces of anatomy?
Well, I told you we don't have the tail in Rhodocetus. So we don't know for sure whether we had had a ball vertebra indicating a fluke or not. So I speculated it might have had a fluke.
Scientist Gingrich also acknowledged that the flippers were drawn on the diagram without these fossils. Now, he does not believe this animal had flippers. Again, his answer was surprising, since the museum diagrams had flippers on Rhodocetus.
Now, since then, we've found the forelimbs, the hands, and the front arm, the arms, in other words, of Rhodocetus. And we understand that it doesn't have the kind of arms that can be spread out like flippers are on a whale. And if you don't have flippers, I don't think you can have a fluke tail and really powered swimming. And so I now doubt that Rhodocetus would have had a fluke tail.
Many experts consider whales to be the best fossil evidence for evolution, but are unaware of these discrepancies.
All right, and then, of course, for more information, you could watch Evolution, the Grand Experiment, and you get that at our website, kgov.com. Click on the store, then browse the science department, and just look for Evolution, the Grand Experiment. These are two of the most fabulous science videos ever produced, and they're produced by Dr. Carl Werner. We've had Carl on this program. In fact, if you go to kgov.com/whale, or kgov.com/Werner, you'll hear two different programs. It turns out that story is not valid. There were fossils, skeletons that were faked, and then reproduced and sold to the world's leading museums. And then there are countless millions of individuals who believe that they found these fossils in this transition from a land animal to a whale. So it turns out that Rhodocetus is a land-dwelling tetrapod. And when they realized that, hey, he didn't have flippers, he just had front legs, and, oh, he didn't have a fluke tail, oh, and he doesn't have a blowhole, they still keep him in the lineage to the whale. And people, even evolutionists, should be offended by that. And by the way, creationists have long objected that so many of the original fossils of so many different organisms that are claimed to provide evidence for evolution, the original fossils are kept, often kept, out of view of the public. We have a fabulous show, kgov.com/Neanderthal, which is perhaps the most informative Neanderthal show in history. And you'll just love that with Dr. Jack Quazzo. But to get back to this. So now the debate happened last Sunday night. Bill Jack did a fabulous job with Travis Barlock presenting with extreme confidence. And by the way, a tremendous dose of mocking and dripping sarcasm directed at Bill Jack. Just tremendous. Ego and just utterly mocking and rude. After the debate, I walked up to Travis as he made himself available. So did Bill Jack to talk with audience members. And so now we have audio. It's not as clear as that, okay? This was from a member of the audience, turned on their video camera after I had just presented this information to the evolutionist Travis Barlock about Rhodocetus being fabricated. Its fluke tail, its flippers, and the discoverer has now retracted that claim. And yet it's still in the museums with the fabricated skeleton. And so we're going to pick it up. I wish we would have had that, right? But I'm so thrilled that this audience member, Leon, made this handheld cell phone video available to us. It's on YouTube. You could see it, kgov.com/Travis. And it's on our YouTube channel. But okay, let's go now to the debate aftermath.
And so this is now fully documented. So now that you know this, if it's true, you should check it out because you could see Dr. Philip Gingrich being interviewed and acknowledging all this.
Okay.
And the skeletons are online. So would you then stop using the whale as an excellent example of transitions, of fossil transitions?
Like there are millions. I mean, not,
yep. I just mean that one, just that one.
I mean, I don't know what you're talking about. I'll look into it, and you know, I will always be willing to claim the things that I don't know. I'd be happy to do that. But I mean, the WIPO hypothesis is well substantiated by the evidence. I mean, I'll be happy to look at it. But it seems to me what you're saying is that more evidence came forward, and then they revised their.
It's a little bit more of that. They found a few bones. And they said, this must be a whale ancestor. So they put a fluke tail where there was none, and it was accepted. It's even in the museum still. The world's leading museums have it with the tail and the blowhole, still to this day.
Okay,
even though it's been years where he has it, they found the rest of the skeleton.
Stop the tape. Okay, just to clarify this point, it's not just one piece of evidence that now has been refuted by other or better evidence. This shows the extreme gullibility of the world's leading museums, evolutionary museums, when a scientist finds some bones and fabricates a whale-like organism from his imagination, and they accept it and they put it on display as though it were an actual organism. And then when they find more of the skeleton, they find out it didn't have flippers and that the fluke tail was just an imagination. And that these other alleged on the journey to whale fossils didn't have blowholes and so on. And they find all this out, but yet they keep the skeletons, the fabricated, imagined skeletons in the museum. And you have supposedly a very well-educated evolutionist, Travis Barlock at DU, just listing the incontrovertible evidence for evolution. And he thinks that Rhodocetus is a fabulous example. And his other examples, case after case, there are even evolutionary scientists who are refuting what he thinks are the most fabulous arguments, some of them utterly discredited and utterly refuted. Let's continue with the discussion with Travis.
Not a refutation in any way of evolution.
You know, just of that one piece of evidence.
And that's fine. I'd be open to that.
Yeah,
I would be completely open to showing that some form of evidence is faulty. That's the point of science.
That's cool,
we try
Travis.
To falsify. I'd be more than willing to do that.
Yeah.
But that still does not negate the rest of it. You know what I mean? That's why I pointed out how you could eliminate the fossil record entirely and I'd still have genetics. I'd still have...
No, you wouldn't, because...
Yeah, I would.
There are genomes that have been sequenced of scores of organisms now from around the world, and they expected them to fit into the evolutionary tree from common ancestry based on the opinions of paleontologists. And there has been a war between the geneticists, between sequencing proteins, sequencing the DNA based on anatomy, based on fossils, and they cannot build consistent lineages. They cannot. They contradict one another to the extreme, such that many secular scientists have said the tree of life is in question because we cannot build a genetic sequence showing the progression that we expected. You presented genetics as consistent with the conclusions of the paleontologist. That's not accurate with current science.
Okay, so I agree that there is the possibility for disagreement within the scientific community.
Sure.
But they are going to, and that's welcomed by science. Again, the whole point is to try to falsify one another.
Stop the tape. Okay, that's changing the topic. What Travis did, we're not saying that scientists will disagree with one another and they'll try to get better and better evidence or correct errors. That's fine. What Travis did was say that the world of sequencing DNA, genetics, doubly confirms the Darwinian tree. So even if we had no fossils, then genetics proves the same development from simple to complex creatures. And that is absolutely a falsehood by 1,000 papers that have been published in leading science journals saying we simply cannot get consistent trees. Whether we look at the sequencing of the proteins or the DNA, we compare it to anatomy, we get trees that are untenable. If we look at genetics and say, well, we could follow the change in the genes and the sequencing and the order of the DNA letters, and so we should be able to see how one organism evolved into another, it turns out to be completely contradictory to what we as evolutionists believe. So, for example, you get the bat and a whale to look like they're close cousins. Close cousins, a bat and a whale, while neither have any common ancestor that has that almost identical DNA programming. So it's not just a matter of correcting some detail. It's a matter of evolutionists like Travis Barlock taking something that is a serious problem for those who are working in the field and presenting it to an audience as though it were a double confirmation of the paleontologist. Let's continue.
Claims, and so scientists will present, you know, there is debate amongst evolutionists about, you know, whether things are particulate, whether things happen in jumps or gradual, you know, but the truth of evolution is not up for debate.
And we have a graphic right there on our YouTube video.
Could
repeating what he just said.
The repeated criticism you made of Bill Jack when you said he was talking about life from non-life, and right. You said that's not valid. Well, the debate wasn't evolution, it was evolution versus creation. And the creationist worldview has an answer. Theories that are valid are able to answer big questions. So Bill's creation view has an answer to how life originated.
Right, magic.
That is part of the debate. You were saying it's disqualified.
I'll grant you that.
You retract that criticism?
I will grant you that life and matter started
magically. No, that's not what I'm asking.
And evolution still happens.
I'm asking if you retract the criticism, because the debate was not evolution. It was evolution versus creation.
Right.
And creation has an answer to where life came from.
Okay.
And people watch Nova and they think there's a secular answer, but there is none.
There is.
So, no, there is no... There is no robust hypothesis, let alone a theory, of how life originates from inanimate matter. There is not. No, there is not. You could live in RNA world all you want. There's not even a rough algorithm of how you would get the scheme to put the instructions for a protein on an information molecule.
This is the argument of incredulity. Just because you don't know doesn't mean that there's not an answer.
No, it's not the argument from incredulity. It's a positive answer.
No,
information is not physical. And a scheme, a logical scheme, symbolic, where you're going to take an amino acid and put a symbolic representation to it, that the laws of physics have no symbolic logic functions. Chemistry has no symbolic logic. So the reason, a half a century after discovering the laws of chemistry have no symbolic logic function.
Stop the tape. I just repeated that because one member of the audience who came up to me is a strong atheist, despises the scriptures, God. He mocked me at that point, subtly, but I could see him and hear him. And when I said the laws of physics have no symbolic logic function, that claim, and then I said chemistry, the laws of chemistry, they have no symbolic logic function. He's like, whoa. In other words, look how stupid this guy is. And so I repeated it just so he could realize what he's disagreeing with. Symbolic logic, where you have symbols that represent other things. Chemistry and physics, they have no symbolic logic. They have no symbolic logic functions. If they do, there's not a single textbook in the history of universities that present the symbolic logic functions in the laws of physics or chemistry. So, of course, this is true, but let's continue.
So the reason, a half a century after discovering the laws of chemistry have no symbolic logic functions. So a half a century after discovering the double helix, the reason that the effort to explain abiogenesis is floundering is because we've never even had a wild proposal for how to get a scheme to encode instructions.
Abiogenesis.
I'm in the master's program in cell molecular biology.
Yeah,
and I
that's
work
so great.
In an RNA lab, and yeah. The catalytic subunit of a ribosome is RNA.
Yeah.
So that's how you get, like, what came first, RNA or the protein? You had RNA, and RNA can catalyze proteins transcription without proteins. So that's how you...
So let's say we have building blocks. And how do you get the symbolic scheme? It's a scheme. Like in ASCII on your computer, the capital A is a number 65. There's no chemistry or physics law that makes that symbolic connection. So our DNA, what's that?
We
assigned it. So our DNA has a set of instructions that symbolically encode for a protein. So the reason why abiogenesis has been dead in the water for half a century is because no one has even proposed a wild guess at how you could have a materialist answer to explain a symbolic scheme.
That's just empirically right.
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
Let's just say that magically a single-cell DNA cell appeared on Earth. At that point, can life evolve to our present state?
Well, I would say it's virtually impossible because... God put a single cell there.
Magic.
It's virtually impossible because life requires tremendous symbiotic, redundant biological services. When you lose one species, one, we have a million. You lose one, you create a severe crisis. And so you want a single species to be able to provide all its biological needs by itself without the rest of the biosystem. It's never been demonstrated that even that would be possible. And Bill Jack said, look at a corpse. Or look at billions of decaying organisms all over the world with the right biochemistry in every conceivable state, and yet life doesn't come from it. So it's not a matter of having just the right chemicals together, because if that's what we needed to get life to arise, it should be arising everywhere we look. Well, we have the right chemicals needed for life everywhere we look, decomposing in the whole world.
Yes, I mean, that's a natural part of things. That's the second law of thermodynamics, is that things essentially will decay and increase toward disorder.
Okay, what a great point Travis Barlock made to end that YouTube video. So that is at kgov.com. Just click on the top of the website, videos, and you go directly to our YouTube, Bob and Yart YouTube channel, and then our Real Science Radio playlist. You'll find that right now. I think it's the second science video in our RSR playlist. Now, what I'd like to do, so you heard from Dr. Philip Gingrich, right? And you heard him admitting that the skeleton, he drew a fluke tail, flippers, he drew a blowhole on this, and then they made a skeleton, and it was all fabricated. Well, but he became world famous. He sold these skeletons to the world's leading museums. They've been on virtually every Nature, Nova show, the History Channel, the History of Life. Tens of millions of people, hundreds of millions, believe this is all true, even though now it has been recanted by the discoverer and fully exposed as fabricated. Well, Dr. Philip Gingrich had a student, Dr. Hans Thewissen, Thewissen. And Dr. Thewissen, the student, saw how his mentor became world famous by finding a whale fossil, transitional fossil. So he finds a fossil, Ambulocetus, and he draws it with a blowhole in the front of its snout. And so now his work, Ambulocetus, is part of the progression, the canonical telling, the story. So here is another clip from Dr. Carl Werner's video, Evolution, the Grand Experiment. Let's hear this with Dr. Hans Thewissen. I'll fill part of it in. All right, we're seeing the skeleton of Ambulocetus. And as the documentary is playing and the music, you see it in the museums, Carnegie Museum, New York City American Museum, Melbourne Museum, Canada's Museum of Natural History, and there is Ambulocetus in all its glory. It's full skull, the whole skull complete, and they have it as a walking whale. All right, the skull has an unusual partially evolved blowhole. Notice it's partially evolved. You look at it, and the camera is zooming into the skull, and you're going to see it, and there it is. What an amazing thing to see. The Smithsonian Museum displays Ambulocetus with a partially evolved blowhole. There it is at the Smithsonian.
I was surprised that the skull wasn't more complete. I thought you had this full, because I've always seen the models in the museums of the full skull. How did you figure out what the shape of the skull? Was it based on these bones, or did you have other fossils to go from?
So the shape of the skull
is based on the fossils that we have, and so we have the parts that have the eye and the brain case and the back of the snout. We don't have the tip of the snout, which is unfortunate because we don't know where the nasal opening was, therefore. However, we did find the whole lower jaw, so we do know how long that snout was. We don't have a sense for its exact shape. So that's based on related animals. Those related animals all have the nasal opening way in the front, so those related animals would be Cuchicetus and Pachycetus. Those have their nasal opening way in the front, so it's likely that Amniocetus had that too, but we don't know that.
So, Amblyocetus, world famous, as is his discoverer, its discoverer, because of the blowhole in the skull, in the snout, because, well, it's obvious that that blowhole shows us it's on its way to evolving into a whale. Because that's one of the challenges, right? To change the skeleton. And in fact, we've done a show on alleged whale evolution with Dr. Jerry Bergman. And there are thousands of the most extraordinary changes that have to occur to go from a land organism to a marine organism. And if you're not designed to live in both environments, so you have to change. And what we know about genetics today is that that means hundreds of millions of changes to nucleotides in an organism's DNA. Way harder to turn a bus into an airplane than to just build an airplane. Way harder. And all that is trivialized. And the amount of time it would take for one nucleotide to get into the whole species, especially with the generation ages of reproduction and the time it would take in whales, their reproductive cycle, and then to get 2 in 10 mutations and 100 in 1,000. And how many are you going to get and how much time do you have? And it's Haldane's dilemma, which we've done a show on that too. So then I don't know if we have time. Do we have a minute for Richard Dawkins? Let's play just this little bit. KGov.com/whales. You see Richard Dawkins bragging about all this. Let's hear it.
People often say, where are the intermediate fossils? Show us your intermediate fossils. There are plenty of intermediate fossils, and one of the best examples is whales. The modern whales are up there. Here's a series of fossils. Back in time, Dorodon about 36 million years ago, Rhodocetus about 47.5 million years, Pachycetus about 48.5 million years.
Stop the tape. So we're about out of time. Richard Dawkins bragging about the transitional fossils to whales that have been refuted, powerfully refuted, and even specific in the primary whale features that made some of these fossils famous, retracted by their discoverers, admitted that they were imagined, that they were fabricated, and oh yeah, front flippers didn't have front flippers. It's a tetrapod. So calling Travis Barlock, we're asking you, Travis, and Travis and I talked privately then also that perhaps we would continue to interact after the debate with Bill Jack. And so we're going to call on Travis Barlock to publicly retract that claim in the debate. We'll let you know what happened.